Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And today is Sunday, May 28th, 2023. It's Memorial Day weekend here in the United States. It's hard to believe that time is traveling so quick. June is just around the corner. And it's good to be here this evening. You can catch us here on New Visions Radio every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yes.
Right, Ed?
That's Eastern Time. Yes.
That's right. And, you know, first, but before we start, we're grateful to Ray Powers for allowing us to be a part of the New Visions Radio family. We've been here for quite a few years, actually, since they started. And it's
and he's still keeping us around for some unknown reason.
Yeah, what's up with that? Yeah. But, no, we appreciate all that he does. You know, it's a lot of work doing the things that he does and keeping this network going. And, you know, we're amongst a bunch of independent music people, and it's good to be here, though.
I don't think we'll be doing any music, but...
You know, I thought about that. We could do a couple of Christian songs, things. You know, we get together every Sabbath, don't we?
Yeah.
Which is when is the biblical Sabbath, Ed?
It's on the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people confuse us with other denominations, but we're a non-denominational ministry.
Right.
And we just open the Word of God, and we try to accept it for what it says.
Yeah, and study it and compare Scripture to Scripture. And it may be different than what you're used to hearing, but this is what the Bible says.
Yeah, some of the things that I've learned are very different from what I grew up with.
Yes, same here.
Yeah, so now tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope. We do this every week because we have new listeners each week.
Right, Prophecies of Hope is in Stanton, Virginia. That's where we're located. At 1743 West Beverly Street, if you ever want to stop by and see us.
We'd love to see you.
We have a church service on Saturday mornings of the Sabbath. We have a Bible study at 9:30, and then our worship hours at 11. And we often have a fellowship meal afterwards.
Yeah.
And so we do haystacks normally, which is like a taco salad type thing.
Yeah.
And then on Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study at 7 p.m., which is kind of a prayer study. Meeting / Bible study. And if you're interested in joining us, we do that by Zoom.
Yeah, very good. And to contact me, you'd reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
Or me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
There you go, ed@prophecyhope.com. Also, sometimes people can't remember our names, and that doesn't surprise me. You can reach us at office@prophecyhope.com. The website is prophecyhope.com. And if you just type it in, if you type in a Google search, I'm sure it will come up.
Yeah.
And also on the website, you'll find many sermons. You will find some of these radio programs archived. I don't have any from 2023 on there yet.
Right.
It takes a lot of time. And that's why, you know, every week when we're on here, we thank Ray Powers because it takes time from his schedule to do those things.
Do you know if they're archived on New Visions Radio?
There are, you know, that's a good question. They used to be some that were archived there. I know that he has a link that points to the website.
Okay.
So if you can't find us, go to New Visions Radio. You're here already.
Yeah.
And you'll find a little bio on the website about us. And I think we have to update that. I think the pictures are old.
Okay.
And
well, the pictures are going to get older if we take new pictures.
That's true. But you know, my hairstyle has been the same for over 30 years. So my hair doesn't look any grayer than it did 30 years ago.
All right. Mine probably looks a little grayer.
But no, Ed, you look the same to me. And, you know, from time to time, if you ever see any of Ed's sermons, sometimes he wears a beard in the wintertime. And he looks like a professor or a doctor when he does that to me.
Well, what can I say? I don't know.
I like it. But so, you know, we're going to pick up this week where we left off last week. We were in Romans chapter 1.
Right.
And before we get started, we want to open with a word of prayer. So, Ed, would you do that for
us? Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're grateful to be here, to be able to open your word and study it and to simply see what it says and see the importance of these things that are written on the words on the page for our lives personally. Each one individually, personally, can benefit from knowing these things and applying these things to our lives. Father, as we study the words on the page, give us wisdom and knowledge. Give us the Spirit of Truth to guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, I just wanted to say this. In your prayer, you mentioned following the words on the page.
Yes.
Explain that.
Okay. I grew up in a church that I was told had the truth, and then I believe had the truth. And it wasn't until I started reading the words on the page in the Bible did I understand, well, this is something different than what my church was teaching. See, before I'd always read that same section of Scripture with the understanding of what my church told me it said.
Oh, preconceived idea.
Yeah, and not really seeing the words on the page.
Yeah, so really you weren't being fair to the reading of Scripture.
Yes.
You were reading it according to what you had been told it meant.
Yeah, I'd look at this chapter in the in a particular book of the Bible and say, I know what that means. I know what it says, you know. So you just kind of cursory read it and not really get the benefit of actually seeing what it actually says.
And so that's why we're doing what we're doing here.
Yes.
So that we can read through a passage and see what it really says. And what's interesting about it is, it might hit each one of us in a different way because we're in a different part of our life.
Right.
You know, I'm in a different place than you are. Now, it doesn't mean that there's one truth for you and one truth for me. No, there's one truth. But it may affect you in a more deep and profound way than it would me,
right,
and vice versa, depending on where we are in Scripture.
Yeah.
So last week we were in Romans chapter 1, and I was thinking about this. You know, today you're wearing a T-shirt.
Yes.
And that T-shirt, let me see, it says New Covenant. And then you have a scripture there from Hebrews. What is that? Hebrews 8:10.
Yes.
And what's it say on there?
It says,
get right on that mic there. Cause
I can't read it.
You can't read
it. Right,
okay,
on the mic.
I'll read it. Okay. I'll read it for you. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts.
Yes. And then it goes on saying, I will be their God and they will be my people.
Yeah. So you mentioned last week in our study, you said that when you put on one of these shirts, you have to think about, what is it you think about every
time
you put one on?
Well, it makes me think of, if I go out in public and don't act in a Christian way, what kind of witness is that going to be for God?
Mm.
If I'm wearing this shirt that says these important things that I believe the Bible is, that everyone needs to know about. And if I don't treat people well, if I don't drive down the street well, if my words that come out of my mouth aren't very Christian, what kind of witness is that going to give?
So the reason that I wanted to go back there was because in Romans chapter 1, the things that we were talking about, we're analyzing what the Bible says, what the gospel says, and it was talking about how people should know God simply by looking around them.
Yeah.
And Christians profess, let's face it, I have a Bible study with a young lady, and I've said to her, you know, sometimes Christians are the worst witnesses for the gospel.
Yeah.
We profess to be Christians, but are we Christians only in name, or are we Christians by the lifestyle?
Right.
And that's what we were talking about last week. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Right.
And we looked at the things that we're held accountable for, decisions that we make. And so how I live my life, you know, that shirt is like a billboard.
Yes.
Well, the testimony that you and I live when we walk down the street, when people know and say, hey, there's that Ed Short guy. He goes to that Prophecies of Hope church. Look at the witness that he's given.
Yeah.
What does it look like? Is it a good witness?
Right.
Or is it a bad witness?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because in Romans 1, there's this list of ungodly things that people do in their lives that claim not to know God. But in this verse, in these verses in Romans chapter 1, Paul says there's no excuse for not knowing God.
Yes.
Because we can see his power and his majesty and his life in the creation of the world.
Mm-hmm. That's verse 20.
But what you're saying is Christians maybe judge people because of these things, but yet they go ahead and do the very same things.
Yeah.
That's what Paul talks about in Romans 2. We'll get there eventually.
Oh, good, yeah. Good. That'll be good.
Yeah.
So we're kind of laying the foundation for that.
Right. You know, I shared with you a text that I found this morning. I was doing some personal devotional study in the Bible, and it was in 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Oh, yeah, that was beautiful.
And I want to read verses 5 through 11. This is going to be the modern King James version of the Bible. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, starting with verse 5.
Okay.
But the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. It's not fake. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside to foolish talking, desiring to be teachers of the law, neither understanding what they say or that which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous one, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for homosexuals, for slave traders, for liars, for perjurers, and anything else that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust.
Wow. So when you, what comes to your mind when you see this text?
The law teaches us of our need for Christ.
Yes, it does.
The law was made for those that don't obey the law. The righteous people, the one considered righteous, are those that are living in a right way towards God, that are being obedient to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the law, it really directs us and shows us for our need for change in our life when we know we're not keeping God's law.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this is telling us. It says here, that what really stands out, there was a verse that really hit me. But we know, verse 8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully.
Yeah.
So, in other words, the law is there to, it actually points out the sin in my life.
Right.
So I can't do away with the law itself. But what does away, if we could say does away with the law, is when we're just doing the will of God, there's no need for the law.
Right, because we're being obedient. We're not breaking any law.
There you go.
Oh.
So, you know, it's kind of like once you know an intersection, you don't have to see that stop sign every time to know you have to stop.
Right.
Right? Yeah. You automatically do it because you know that's, you need to yield to those that are coming through. The law is no different. We see it, we know it, and we say, well, this is just what I do.
Well, I don't know if people really stop and think that the law of God is for our benefit.
Yeah, they think it's restrictive.
Yeah.
And depending on our lifestyle, it may be restrictive
right. At
first, right?
If you want to do those things that are against God's law. But God's law was created as a hedge of protection around us.
Absolutely.
To protect us from the results of transgressing God's law, you know, the penalty phase of that. And, you know, quite frankly, that can become immediately in our lives. You know, if we run a stop sign and cause an accident, someone can get hurt, including yourself, or someone may even die, including yourself. You know, what benefit is that to you or anybody else if you break that law?
Yeah, it's not.
The same with God's law.
That's true. In fact, you know, Jesus' words in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, go right along with this. He says in Matthew 7, I'm just going to read a few verses here. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven.
Right.
So Jesus is saying, just because we profess his name doesn't mean we're going to be in his kingdom.
You know, it reminds me of a song, and I've told you about the song many times in the past, and I maybe even have mentioned it on the radio program here. But there's a song by Stevens Curtis Chapman. I think the title of it is The Change. It could be just Change. And it talks about the Christian life.
Mm.
You know, I'm going around. I have this bracelet on my hand that says, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
I have this cross around my neck. I have a Bible in my hand. I have a bumper sticker on my car. It says, honk if you love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But then he goes, well, what about the change? What about the difference in my life that knowing Christ should make? What about that? All this external stuff is probably okay, but what about the internal stuff,
yes.
The change in my heart and my life?
In other words, those things can make people think about Jesus,
right.
and plant a seed.
Right.
But the true difference is, what difference does it make in you as an individual, right? How has Christ helped you?
My character.
Exactly.
Yes.
So when we look at this, and we look at this text along with Romans or 1 Timothy, where you just read, what Jesus' words are, he says, not everyone saying to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and we've done many wonders in your name? And listen to Jesus' words here. He says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Yeah.
So he's saying, if you don't know my law, you don't know me.
Right.
And if we know the law, we're going to be doing the things that Christ did.
Right. You know, we're going to get into this in depth later on in Romans.
Okay.
But if I want to change my life, I'm finding it difficult to do that.
Mm, it is.
How do I do that?
We talked a little bit about that last week. We're kind of laying the foundation for that. Because I gave part of my testimony last week and about how I got on my knees and I asked God, I said, I can't do this.
Right.
I need your help. So this is a start.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Knowing God, knowing that we can approach him through Christ Jesus and we can ask him for help. I think that is the beginning. But first, in order to pray to God, we have to have faith that there is a God.
Right.
And that's what Romans 1 is telling us.
Yes.
If you don't believe that there is God, look around you.
Yes.
Look at creation.
Yeah.
Look at how wonderfully made things are. The world, even though it can be a horrible place, it's a beautiful place.
Yes, it still is, in spite of what sin has done to the world.
Yeah. It's amazing that it has been preserved by God to look as beautiful as it does in spite of 6,000 years of sin.
Right.
So where are we going to pick up here, Ed? Where did we leave off last
week?
Let's
continue on in Romans 2, because it's going to be talking about just what we talked about, living the Christian life.
Okay, good.
Let's go to Romans 2 and read verses 1 through 11 first.
Okay. You want me to read that?
Yes, please.
Ed's looking at me here, so. All right, so I'm reading from the New King James Bible, Romans chapter 2, 1 through 11. It says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God.
So last week and even this morning, or this evening, I should say, we listed these things that list the disobedience of God.
Mm.
Now, these aren't inclusive. There's many other ways to be disobedient with God. But here Paul is saying, you know, when we judge others with these things, do you do the same things yourself?
Yeah.
And do you think you're going to escape the judgment of God?
In other words, there's accountability.
Yes.
And when we make those judgments, it's easy for me to sit here and point the finger at another.
Yes.
It's very easy. And there's a text where Jesus talks about this, where he says, do you look at the rafter, or you look at the speck in your brother's eye when there's actually a rafter in your eye?
All right.
I think that's
beam.
The translation. Beam. Yeah. Some say beam. The translation I grew up with says rafter.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because we do tend to do that. We tend to look at people critically and not ourselves.
You know, verse 4 kind of stood out to me. It says, do you despise the riches of his kindness and the forbearance and long-suffering and not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?
Mm.
You know, he is constantly trying to draw us into a right way of living.
Mm-hmm.
Draw us towards his son, Jesus Christ.
I think that for a lot of people these days, here in 2023, people think of that as an imposition.
Yeah.
Because it's not what I want.
That's not popular in the world, that's for sure.
It's not. Everybody wants to live according to their own will. But, you know, everything that we've learned about Jesus, he didn't live for himself.
No, not at all.
He lived for others. And that's why he came.
Yes.
He came to do the will of his Father.
You know, Philippians, I think it's chapter 2, talks about this, where Christ, the only begotten Son of God,
mm-hmm.
became a servant,
yes,
humbled himself, became a servant to this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And took on humanity
mm-hmm.
so that we could experience salvation today in our own lives.
Yeah.
That today. Would lead to eternal life.
Yes. Salvation today.
Yes.
You know, that's an interesting term because most people think of salvation as a future time.
Right.
But we can have it now.
Now is the day
we
of salvation.
We need it now.
Yeah.
We need it now.
Yes.
Because, you know, knowing that we have that relationship with Christ and that if something happens to me, that he will remember me,
mm-hmm.
just like he did that thief on the cross next to him. The thief says, remember me. And he says, you will be with me. And what a comforting feeling that must have been.
You know, this verse 4 uses the word repentance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that everybody knows what that word means.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's good. It does use the word repentance. What does that mean?
Repentance is not only being sorry and feeling bad about the way you're living your life or something you've done,
mm-hmm.
you know, disobedience to God, but it's also turning around and becoming obedient, changing a direction, no longer desiring to do those things because you know they're wrong and because you know God has this great love for you that he's expressed through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, and dying for those very sins, paying the penalty for those very things that we're doing wrong that will have a penalty if we don't confess them and turn away from them. So this word repentance isn't just being sorry for your sin, but it's turning away from sin.
That's a powerful thing. And, you know, to repent, I don't think that all of us have that in ourselves to want to do that.
We don't, and I'm the first to admit, I've tried in the past to do things on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Without Jesus, I may be successful for a little while, but sooner or later I will fail.
I'm going to fail, yeah. It's so true. So repentance is something that we can pray for.
Yes.
And we can ask for help in that
And we'll, we will receive help.
Yes.
Yes.
And never underestimate the power of prayer.
That's for sure.
You know, this is something that I've learned more later in life than earlier. And, you know, those prayers can be answered and you don't realize it until later on. You say, wow, so that's how God answered that prayer. It has already been done.
Right. It's easier to look back at experiences in your life and see how God has worked through you, help you through those things,
yeah.
than when you're immediately going through something in the present and don't have any idea where the help's going to come from.
Hmm. So part of this, what we're talking about, this repentance and being changed, that has to come from this scripture that your shirt is talking about, this new covenant.
Yes.
Right? Having that law put into our hearts.
Right.
And so we're going to learn as we go through this how that happens.
Yes.
The process, what takes place.
Right.
Right? And so repentance, this is the beginning.
Yes, it is. Realizing that you have a need for a change.
Yeah.
You know, being aware that you're not following God and His law.
Last week we talked about just something that's very real to a lot of people. We may have something in our life. It could be, in my family, fortunately I've never suffered from this, but alcoholism has been an issue.
Right.
And admitting it is a big part of overcoming it.
Right. How can you overcome something, a difficulty in your life, you don't admit that it's a difficulty?
Right. So in order for us to repent, we have to know there's a problem.
Right.
So identifying that, the Bible, God's law, and His Word will help us to identify the things in our life that we need to refrain from, that we need to put away.
You know, I've been reading quite a bit in the Old Testament, different sections of the Bible, and each different time period where the nation of Israel had been taken captive, and they returned to their land, and they find the book of the law.
Mm.
And they have it read to them, not only read to them, but the priests actually explain it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize how much they have been living against the law of God. And they're very repentive.
Right.
And sorrowful. And are seeking forgiveness for God. You know, sometimes without the law, you don't know that you're doing something wrong.
Right. That's why we have the law, yeah, to point it out. And the other thing is, sometimes, you know, the adversary really wants to beat us up.
Yeah.
And sometimes we might get to that point to where we see the problem, we've identified it by God's word, and then the adversary wants to beat us down. Once we've asked for forgiveness and we have repented, we can let it go.
Let me share a text with you that talks about that. We might have talked about it last week. I'm not sure. It's in 1 John chapter 1.
I don't remember going there last week, but maybe we did. 1 John 1?
Yeah, I want to read verses 7 through 9.
Okay.
And this is a scripture I learned at a very young age and has given me hope throughout all my life, starting in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Mm.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah, it doesn't say some unrighteousness,
right,
does it? And it doesn't say cleanses us from a few sins.
Right.
It's all sin.
And when you take the time to confess your sins to God, believe that He will forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's promised here in this book of 1 John chapter 1.
And I think the balance comes in that so many times, and many, many, many Christians are guilty of this. We will look at the sin and we'll say, okay, well, I'm going to lay this down. And then we kind of look at this as a safety net that I can keep doing it.
Right.
But Jesus didn't come to save us in our sin.
No, He came to save us from our sins.
From it.
So He would set us free from sin.
That's it. Yeah, he wants to free us from sin.
Yes.
And once we accept Him and He frees us from sin, that gives us eternal life.
Yes.
So we were back. I don't know if you have another text you wanted to share. We were in Romans chapter 2 is where we were.
Right.
And let me get my Bible back there because, you know, we're talking about repentance and asking for forgiveness and coming to God and just not being afraid to approach him and pray.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm trying to look up something here.
That's okay.
Jesus, just in my mind, I want to say it's John 10, but Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, "If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." And they go, "Well, we've never been slaves."
Oh yeah, let me see if I'll see if I can find that.
You know, and of course, if you know the history of the children of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt for 400 and some years. And to say that, you know, we've never been in bondage, we've never been slaves.
John chapter 8.
8, okay, there
we go. And if you want to start in, I think it would probably begin in verse 31 for context.
All right. Let me read that from the modern King
sure.
James. John 8, verse 31. When Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to anyone. How do you say, you will make us free?"
So can you explain that a little bit for the listener that might not be familiar with what this is talking about?
Right. So, you know, the history of Israel is that they were taken captive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, they weren't taken captive. They were put in bondage in Egypt.
Because of their disobedience.
Yeah.
Because of their sin.
Right. And they were in bondage for 400 some years, and yet they're telling Jesus, "We are Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to anyone."
Right.
And you talk about changing history.
Oh, wow.
The narrative of what's happened in the past.
Yeah, they were ignoring it.
Yeah.
Is what they were doing.
So Jesus answered in verse 34, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever practices sin is the slave of sin." Other versions of the Bible may say servant of sin. "And the slave does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son will make you free, you shall be free indeed."
Mm.
Christ sets us free from sin.
Yes, he does.
And we'll talk about that as we go along in this book of Romans.
Yes. And the key is, again, and you're going to hear me say this a lot, he came to set us free from sin, not in sin.
Well, think about it. I've talked about this a lot before, that sin is so offensive to God, but his love so great for us that it required the death of the only begotten Son of God in order to enable us to have the opportunity to have eternal life.
Yeah.
So God sent his Son to this earth to die and pay the penalty for my sin so that we could continue on in sin?
No. So that we could be freed from it, so that we would sin no more.
Right.
Isn't that what he said to the woman? He said, "Go and
sin
no
more."
He didn't say, "Go and try not to sin and continue in this way and I've got your back." But why do we treat Christ that way as Christians?
You know, honestly, I don't think people understand the gospel. They don't understand the hope that we have in Christ, that he not only died on the cross for us, but he lives today to empower us to overcome sin in our lives. He lives in my heart.
Yeah.
I have a t-shirt that says that.
Yes, it does. And that's what the Bible says.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. We do, one of the hymns that we do is, "He Lives."
Yes.
Right? And our brother Roy loves to sing that. We just did that this past Sabbath.
Right.
And it's really beautiful to sing that, because if he lives within your heart, what does that mean about my character? What's going to happen? It's going to change me.
Right. We're going to have the influence of the character of Christ upon my character, and it's going to have an effect. It's going to enable me to overcome sin in my life. And Christ will change my character, my heart.
So overcoming.
Yes.
You know, this is what we talked about a little bit last week, that there are choices that we have to make throughout our lives.
It's not done without our cooperation.
Right.
Yeah. We
choose. We choose.
Right.
And that's the beauty of the God that we serve. He loves us so much that he will give us the freedom to choose. Do you want eternal life or do you want eternal death?
He wants us to serve him and to follow him and be obedient to him because we love him.
Right.
Because he first loved us.
Yeah, I don't, you know, a friendship should not be based on fear, right?
And it shouldn't be based on getting something that you want either.
Exactly. That's right. A friendship is something that it grows over time, and you learn that you can trust one another.
Right.
And, you know, the thing is, we have to learn, friends, and this is why we started in Romans. This is a great place to start, that we can trust our Creator.
Right.
And this is a big part of having the faith. If I don't know God, how can I trust him?
Right.
And if I didn't know you, and you said, I'm going to meet you at the studio at this time, then how can I know I can trust you?
We don't even have to say each other, we'll meet
at the studio.
We just do it.
We know we're going to be here. Yeah. This is when we're here, and we're here each week.
Right.
And if we're not going to be here, that's when we communicate.
Right.
So, you know, this is that relationship, that just knowing each other that well, this is how God wants us to know him and his son. To know that, you know, if I just allow him to work in my life, he's going to help me to overcome, to be able to repent from the things that I have in my life.
You know, a lot of people will argue against what we've been talking about.
Yes, they do.
They'll say, well, what about the little girl in Africa has no knowledge of the Bible or of Jesus? You know, this next section in Romans 2 talks about that.
Okay, that'll be great.
So let's read verses.
Romans 1 actually talked about that too.
Yeah.
And I love the text in Romans 1:20 because it really says that.
All right.
That goes right along with where we're going to pick up. We stopped at the end of verse 11.
Yes.
That's where we stopped in chapter 2, verse 11. Romans 1:20. Now, I typically don't like a paraphrase Bible, but the way the Living, not the New Living, but the Living Bible says it is beautifully, and I wish I could remember it exactly. But here's what it says in the New King James. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And the Living Bible says it in a way that when you look at the beauty of the creation around you, there's no reason for someone to not believe.
Right. You know, let's pick up at Romans 2:12 because it continues with that thought.
Sure. All right.
Let me read a few verses here from the modern King James. Romans 2, chapter 12. For as many as sinned without the law will perish without the law, and as many have sinned within the law shall be judged through the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the nations who do not have the law do by nature the things of the law, these not having the law are a law unto themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and the thoughts between one another, accusing or excusing one another, in a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He's saying, those that sin without the law will perish without the law.
Right.
Those that sin with the law will be judged by the law. But those who do not have the law, but by nature do the things of the law, they become a law unto themselves. Even though they may not have the written law of God in front of them, yet because of their knowledge of right and wrong, that is, God has given them naturally, they are obedient to God's law without even knowing them.
So what the scripture is saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, it seems like God knows the heart.
Yes.
And he meets us where we are in that walk. Now, don't misread what I'm saying, because so many people will say, well, God knows my heart. Well, you know, we can deceive ourselves.
Yes.
I can deceive myself,
right,
believe it or not. And so don't be deceived. Jesus said that often, didn't he?
Right.
Do not be deceived. So you might think you know what's in your heart, and we can delude ourselves into believing, well, I'm okay. But What this is saying is that God meets us where we are. He knows the heart. He's a righteous judge. And if people never had an opportunity to know Jesus, God reads the heart and knows what they know and where they are at that time.
Jeremiah talks about the heart. He says something like this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Yeah.
We deceive ourselves.
Yes. The Father and His Son know our hearts.
Yes.
But we don't know our own heart.
You know, part of this step of repentance is taking the time and meeting with God, talking with God, praying to God, and be honest with Him about what's in your heart.
Mm.
Remember, you can't lie to Him. He already knows what's there.
That's true.
But you need to be honest about the things in your heart, those thoughts that you have, you know, the evil things you want to do or are doing, or the thoughts you have against other people. Be honest about those things and ask and pray to God for help in overcoming those things, for a changed heart, a changed mind, a changed life.
Yes. David, wasn't it David that prayed, "Put in me a new heart, O God"?
Renew in me a new heart and a right spirit.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, and that's the thing, you know, when we pray that prayer, sometimes we're afraid to pray that prayer because we don't want to let go of the things that are in our life. I'm guilty of that in my past.
Yes.
That there's things I wanted to hang on to, and instead of praying the prayer of, you know, help me to get rid of this. You know, it's how much do you want to have an eternal relationship with your Creator? That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Who do you love more, yourself or your God?
Right. You know, in verse 15 of Romans 2, it talks about showing the work of the law written in their hearts.
Mm.
You know, what's in your heart will come out.
Oh, yeah.
Given enough pressure, it will come out, and you may not like what comes out.
Yeah, I think many times we wouldn't, you know.
So it's important to work having a changed heart, a changed heart that we receive from God through His Son, Jesus Christ.
It's so true. And, you know, look, I'm the type of person, I don't like change. I like things, you know, I'm comfortable where things are at certain times.
Right.
And so when I see, even today, when I see the world changing so fast, it makes me uncomfortable.
Mm. Well, rightly so. I mean, the things that are being changed.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible, the things that are happening. And, you know, we've talked about that. I'm sure as we go through this, that's going to be more and more the topic.
Right.
So, you know, this is, so far today, we've talked about what our walk with Christ looks like. What do we reflect?
Right.
Right? We've talked about repentance.
Yes.
Which is turning away from the ways that the things that are wrong in my life.
Yes.
And in order to do that, in order to turn away from them, I have to have the desire to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so when we look here and we're talking about a change of heart, to me, what was the last verse you read there? You
said verse 12.
Is that where it was?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, 15.
15.
Yeah,
it says, talking about showing the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them.
What is the new covenant?
It's Christ in you, isn't it?
Right. Writing those laws in our hearts and minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of Christians, they talk about, I'm a new covenant Christian. They have no idea that the new covenant is God's laws in your heart and mind, so that you're going to be obedient to His law. They claim that they've been done away with.
What was, you opened with a text, Ed, in Timothy. Was that 1st or 2nd Timothy?
That was 1st Timothy chapter 1.
And let's read that again, because now that we've talked about this, that was a good opening text. Let's go back to that text.
Okay, I'm going to read verses 5 through 11 again.
Yes.
All right? This, again, is the modern King James Version of the Bible. Verse 5. But the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, and a good conscience, and faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside to foolish talking, desiring to be teachers of the law, neither understanding what they say, nor that which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous one, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for homosexuals, for slave traders, for liars, for perjurers, and anything else that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust.
Did you notice some of the things that were there that are not according to sound doctrine?
Yes.
These things are not popular today, Ed. You know, saying the words that you just read.
Right.
This is not a popular thing today.
Yeah, people will call us haters.
Yeah, and we're not. God doesn't hate these people.
No.
He loves them. That's why he's calling you to repentance.
Why do we go on the radio and say these things and risk all the backlash from this if we do it just to judge people?
It's not. We can't judge anyone.
No.
And all we're trying to do is trying to help people to have a better lifestyle, to have an eternal life. Pointing them to Jesus Christ.
There's consequences to the choices we make in life. And according to the Bible, these things have eternal consequences.
Yes, they do.
And people need to be aware of it. Whether you choose to repent or not, that is your personal choice. That is between you and God. But we're here to warn the world, to preach the gospel of a saving grace to save us from these things through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And by doing that, give us eternal life.
You know, there was a lot of people might say, yeah, but I like doing what I'm doing. I like the things that I'm doing. I like me the way I am.
Right.
And, you know, it reminds me when I think of stuff like that, I think of there was one in the Bible who is talked about in Isaiah.
Okay.
The book of Isaiah. I'm just going to go there just for a moment because this shows how dangerous this can be. In Isaiah chapter 14.
I was going to guess you were going there.
Yeah.
Right.
In Isaiah chapter 14. And this is talking about Lucifer, who was a beautiful angel in the heavens who actually became the devil.
Yeah,
actually
Satan.
Became Satan.
Yeah.
And here's what it says. This is Isaiah 14:12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, so where does it start?
In your heart.
Yeah. You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So what's he doing? He's putting his own desires ahead.
Right. You know, I read 1 Timothy 1:5 says, but the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart.
Yes. And here we have a corrupted heart,
yes,
don't we? And it says, so he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Well, what's the end result of this?
Yeah.
Of him wanting this position? He wasn't created to be this one that he wants to be.
Right.
And the end result? It says, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms? And it goes on. In other words, what's going to happen is the devil is going to be destroyed.
Yes.
Because of his own, it's really self-destructive.
Yes.
Because he's not living for others. Let's face it. So many people today, they say they love people. We want to treat others humanely. We want to treat them nice. And then what do? They hate the very ones that point out to them, look, you can't continue to live like this.
Right.
If you truly love God, if you truly love Christ, something has to change.
You know, going back to 1 Timothy 1:5, but the end of the commandment is love out of pure heart. The results of obeying God's commandments is love for God,
yes,
and love for your neighbor.
That's it. That's what Jesus said, the two greatest commandments.
Yeah.
And in doing that, he was summing up the Ten Commandments.
Right.
So we even, last week, I think when we were closing out, we talked about how if you just pick any commandment and look at how much your life would change, if every person on earth would just pick any commandment, it doesn't matter which one. If you pick a commandment like you shall not steal, well, I wouldn't need to lock my house and worry about people stealing stuff, right? I wouldn't need a key to my car. We wouldn't need passwords on our computer because people wouldn't try to steal our identity. One commandment changes so many things. And so imagine what the world would be like if people would just follow the legislation that's in the Bible.
Right. Let's continue in Romans chapter 2. You know, a lot of people will claim, well, certain commandments are only for the Jews.
Oh, yeah, that's true. People say that.
Yeah. So let's continue reading in Romans 2,
okay,
starting verse 17. Behold, you are called a Jew and rest in the law and boast in God, and know his will and approve the things excelling, being instructed out of the law, and persuading yourselves to be a guide of the blind and a light to those in darkness, as instructors of the foolish, a teacher of babes who have the form of knowledge and of the truth of the law. Therefore, the one teaching another, do you not teach yourself? The one preaching to you to steal, do you steal? The one preaching not to steal, do you steal?
Mm.
The one saying not to commit adultery, do you commit adultery? The one detesting idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the nations because of you, as it is written, for circumcision truly profits you if you keep the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, circumcision becomes uncircumcision. If then the uncircumcision keeps the ordinance of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And the uncircumcision on which is by nature is fulfills the law, shall it not be judged you, who through the letter and circumcision become transgressors of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in spirit, and not in letter, who prays is not from men, but from God.
Hmm. You know, when Paul's writing this, he's holding these people accountable.
Yeah.
And he's holding himself accountable, if you think about it, because he's saying, look, how can you say not to do this if you're doing it yourself?
Right.
And
how are you going to teach the blind? How can the blind lead the blind?
Yeah. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And so this, look, this is offensive to people when I say it, particularly to Christians. But a lot of times Christians are the worst example of being a Christian,
yeah,
those who profess to be Christians. And one of a young lady that I have a Bible study with via Zoom, I've said to her, you know, it's unfortunate that Christians are the worst witnesses many times for what true Christianity is about.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. And that's what Paul's saying here. You who profess to be doing these things, your lifestyle is showing that. In other words, Ed, you're wearing the T-shirt. Live up to it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's how we started.
Right.
You're wearing the shirt. Live up to it. If we are in Christ, if we've put on Christ, we're wearing the shirt.
You know, the Jews here had this problem in that they had the law of God, they had this beautiful temple, and they felt secure in that.
Mm.
Yet there was no change of their heart.
Wow.
They didn't do these things. They had these things, and they felt they were saved because they had these things.
In other words, I go to church every weekend. I'm there. I show up to church, and I participate, and I sing the hymns, and I listen to the pastor's sermon. But what does the rest of the week look like?
What about the change?
What about the change?
What about the difference? I do all these external things. What about the change in my heart?
That's it.
And, circumcision was a big issue in the early Christian church because the Jewish Christians thought everybody should be circumcised because of the law of Moses.
Right.
And we'll find as we go along that Abraham's faith began before he was circumcised.
Yes, it did.
And so, what we're saying here is it's not the outward appearance, but it's the circumcision of the heart, the change of the heart. That makes one a Jew or not a Jew.
Yes. The change on the inside is what will cause you to live a different life.
Yes.
It causes you to put on the new personality. And really, I don't know why, but when I said that, I said, you're wearing the shirt.
Yeah.
We're to put on Christ. We have about 1 minute, Ed. Is there anything that you would like to just kind of close with? I know there's a lot you want to say, and we can pick up next week.
I can't think of the verse, but maybe we can get to it next week. In Corinthians someplace, it talks about the circumcision made without hands.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's the
Hebrews.
Circumcision of Christ,
yeah.
By Christ. Christ working on our heart, causing that change in our heart.
Yes. I think that's a great place to pick up next week, because we just finished Romans chapter 2. I think that's in Hebrews, if I remember right.
It could be.
Does that sound right?
I found this maybe a week or two ago. I thought, I've got to put this in my notes, but I ended up not doing it. But.
And, friends, these studies are not to offend people. They're to cause us to make those changes in our life, to help us to come closer to God and His Son. And I really hope that you will consider some of these things.
Colossians 2:11. We'll get to
Colossians
next week.
Colossians 2:11. That's where we'll pick up next week. So, unfortunately, we're out of time, so we need to close with prayer, and let's do that, okay? Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for your word, and we're just grateful for these things, these reminders that we need to help us to recognize that you are the Creator and that you sent your Son so that we can be changed, so that we can have eternal life. So, Father, as we've begun a new week, please be with us. Please keep us safe until we come together again. May we reflect on these things each and every day. And we ask and pray your blessing to be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ed, thank you for being here. Thanks for leading. And we will be back here hopefully next Sunday, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.